This week, we have a holiday coming up. Let me go back to that real quick. There we go. All right, so this week we have a holiday coming up, and that holiday is what? Somebody tell me. Thanksgiving, man. I love Thanksgiving. Outside of Christmas, Thanksgiving is my favorite holiday because it's the time I get to really just sit down and eat whatever I want. You can't say anything to me, and at that point, we really just don't care, right? We have the meals that are brought that we love, and then we have the meals that are brought that we know who cooked it, so we generally, okay, well, we're going to pass. All right, and it's a time when we get together that we can rejoice with our family. We can give thanks for all the blessings in our lives, and so let me give you a background on Thanksgiving real quick, because it's kind of just kind of it says Thanksgiving. The first Thanksgiving, all right, the gathering. It wasn't called Thanksgiving then, but it was the first gathering that they traced back was around 1621. 1621, all right? Thanksgiving became an official U.S. holiday that Abraham Lincoln put into act in 1863. So 1863. What we see here is this is not something unique to today's standards. It's not a new holiday by any means, but it still is a time that I'm 42 from the time that I can remember as the youngest child that we came together once a year, and we saw family, friends, and people we loved, right? So it's not a new holiday, right? We see those loved ones that we usually only get to see once a year, and we see some that we get to see pretty much every day, right? It's just a same old gathering with them. Yet it always is great to come together and sit around a table, right? Sit around a table and remind each other of the great reasons we have to be thankful for everything in our lives. All right. And for some of us, we only do that once a year. All right. And it's at a time, and this is what I love, I remember as a kid, right? It's a time when you were a kid and that vacant chair opened at the adult table and they said, come on over. And then we got to graduate from the kid table to the adult table. And then we really quickly realized how fast that we, wanted to go back to the kid table because I didn't know what a 401k was or the losses or the earnings, and I was left very confused on why is it going to hurt walking from the car to the front door when I get older. I don't know, but that's when I realized I was like, I really want to be back at the card table, right? But as we gather together and as we fellowship amongst each other, all right, we see that some people in our lives are missing, right? It's people we've lost. Right, it's people, family members that we might have become disconnected to for various reasons. Right, some are deployed, some aren't with us by their own choosing, some may be working. The list could go on and on. It really does. Right, but what we need to remember is that as we gather together, right, and we share those memories of what we've accomplished throughout the year, right, the things that we've lost, what we have gained, right, maybe what we have lost. And what we have gone through may make us feel as though we have a lot to be thankful for, and then sometimes, for some people, not so much, right? It's those hard things that they're working through where they are like, yeah, I really just don't have that much to be thankful for. I really don't have that much to rejoice over in my life. And when we reflect and we finish and we see that all these things have come together at that moment, we eventually what? We leave, right? We leave the presence of each other. Some of us may go across the country, and some of us may go across the state, across the street, but we leave our presence of each other. But prior to doing that, right, we sit down, we have a meal together, and we tell everybody what we're thankful for, right? We pray to bless that meal, right? And we rejoice in all the good things in our lives, right? But when we reflect back on the year, when we reflect back on that year, and we sit there and really think about it, how often have we shown our gratitude and thankfulness to the Lord? How often have we shown him the thankfulness in our lives, especially when those times are just not ideally what we think needs to be right, right? We need to be able to show the importance of giving thanks in all circumstances, no matter what. It's difficult. I know as I say it, some of you probably are like, it's hard. Listen, I've been there. It is very hard. You know, I have a family member right now who is rather right now at the moment dealing with a very difficult bout of cancer. All right, that is something that brings us heartache. All right, you don't feel really joyful over it, but the one thing that I can rejoice over is this: that it has taken a relationship, brought us closer together, and given me that much more thankfulness of the time that I have had and the time that I continue to have right now. So, as we go through, right, and we talk about Thanksgiving, and we talk about what we're thankful for, and we talk about the difficult times in our lives that we go through, we just have to remember, even though it's a medical diagnosis gone wrong, or the loss of a job, or the loss of a family member, or friendships or families that get broken, right, this isn't a new thing that has just started happening in the world today, right? In 1621, I guarantee you they were going through hard times. Right, when Abraham Lincoln decided to make Thanksgiving a U.S. holiday, I guarantee you there was a whole lot of hard times going on right now. If you know anything about the presidency of U.S. Abraham Lincoln, it's this, that he had a very difficult presidency. There was a lot of stuff going on through his entire presidency, yet he took the time to set aside a holiday to remind Americans of what we need to be thankful for. All right, now, but we also see, all right, let's take this back to Scripture. We see a multitude of people in Scripture who what? They've struggled, right? They expressed their struggles. They expressed them in the right way, and they might have expressed them in the wrong way. Right? But what we also see from them is that we remember in our time and our weakness, right? People often pay the most attention to us, right? They pay attention to us as followers of Christ when what? When we're struggling. Right? They want to see how we respond, right? They want to see, well, you know, they walk around, they say they're a Christian, you know, they pray, they live a good life and this, but, oh, how are they going to respond to this? What's going on right now with them, right? And what we need to let be seen, especially then more than anything, is how we are going to continue to rejoice in the Lord's name, right? Because it might be at that moment that even though they're weak in their walk and they're weak in their life, that they can see strength in ours because we can rejoice in the one true God, and that's what gives us strength. I have written here, it says, believers' response should be to be just as strong in everything that's going on in our lives, not just what's going on in our lives when it's great. All right? As we focus today, and this is what I want to do, I want to focus today and bring this in. We're going to bounce around a lot, so hope you're ready. It says, we focus today, I believe it is a proper to look at one particular person right now. All right, let's look at one life of Scripture who was shaken many times. Many times he was faithful, and he definitely gave thanks in all circumstances. All right, and that is going to be Paul. All right, when we look at Paul's life, we can see that he was strong in his walk, all right, and a multitude of times, all right, when realistically, had myself gone through some of those things, I would have been shaken to my core, all right? So as we briefly look at Paul today, this is what I want to remind you, that one, we need to be rejoicing in all circumstances, no matter what. You're going to hear me go back to this a lot because I really want to drive this home to you, all right? And then we're going to see three distinctive elements as we go through 1 Thessalonians, okay? And that's what we can do on Thanksgiving and times and goodness in our lives, but also we need to do it more than just once a year. We need to do it daily, right? From the time we wake up to the time we go to sleep, we need to be rejoicing and thanking the Lord for everything in our lives, right? So we're moving on. It says here this, rejoice always. Rejoice always. As followers of Christ, we need to remember that this, that we can have joy in all circumstances. And here's the thing, and it is appropriate to have joy at all times, okay? We need not forget what was done for us on that cross. When we struggle, we need to be able to look to our one true God and see that we can find joy in the midst of our times of struggle. Our joy does not, it does not hang on this materialistic world of everything that's around us, all right? Our joy as followers of Christ can come from the fact that knowing that we have a Savior that we can directly pray to, and we will get to that in a little while, but that also when we struggle, right, when we struggle, that we can rejoice in that always, all right? That's why we see rejoice always. Philippians 4:4, it says, rejoice in the Lord again, always again. I say what? Rejoice, right? There is one person in the Bible who could have, you know, taken the back seat on it and said, I don't have anything to be really joyful for. I just don't feel like I'm going to be rejoicing. That was Paul, right? When you really do a deep dive lesson on Paul and you look at what went on in his life, especially after he became a follower of Christ, I'm going to name a couple, all right? He was stoned. He survived, all right? He was shipwrecked. He survived. He was beaten. He survived, all right? He was imprisoned multiple times, all right? And then eventually it led to what? It led to his execution, right? He was even martyred for Christ. But through all that, we see in Paul's life that he found joy and he was able to rejoice in all the circumstances and situations in his life, right? He lists, I'm going to read this in detail because I think it's important. He lists these hardships in 2 Corinthians 11, 24 through 27. He says this. He says, five times I received from the Jews 39 lashes. So on five separate occasions, he received 39 lashes. Right, let that sink in for just a second, because after the first two or three lashes on the first time, right, it's got a way of making you think different, right? But he did it, what? He received 39 lashes five times, not on one occasion, but on five separate occasions, right? So Paul knew exactly when his joy and how he rejoiced for and continuing to share the gospel message and move on. He still found joy in that because he knew at some point, all right, what? They're going to get me again, right? It's clear right here. He says, let's see, let me continue. He says, three times I was beaten with rods. Once I was stoned. Three times I was shipwrecked. And night and day I have spent in the deep. I have been on, I've been on frequent journeys in danger from my countrymen, dangers from the Gentiles, dangers in the city, dangers in the wilderness, dangers on the sea, dangers among the false brethren. I have been in labor and hardship through many sleepless nights, in hunger and thirst, often without food, in cold and exposure. Apart from such external things, let's pay attention to this. There is the daily pressure on me of concern for all the churches. Yet Paul still, in a multitude of times, was able to rejoice in the name of the Lord. He was that devoted to Christ, right? And when you see the daily pressure of me of concern for all the churches, let's bring this back from there to here. There is a daily pressure that can fall on pastors of the congregation that they stand before, right? The flock that they are asked to shepherd, the people that we are called to care for, right? We see the good in your lives, we see the bad, we see the times that you're weak, we see the times that you anguish over something. All that takes a toll on everyone. But even in the midst of our struggles, right, we still need to remember one thing, is that we can find the good in those and rejoice always. We need to stop asking ourselves why, and ask this: what do I need to learn from this going on in my moment at this moment in my life? A couple years ago, you know, I left one career, I came here, everything was great. It was like this emotional high. It's like, I'm here, the Lord has blessed me with this. And then guess what? Started going downhill pretty quick, right? Went from feeling great to doctor's appointment after doctor's appointment after doctor's appointment. And I'm gonna tell you what, I did not feel real joyful in any of this, right? It was like every single time there was a little bit of a roadblock that came my way. Right? Until one day I just had to stop and say, Father, what do you want me to learn from this going on in my life right now? What am I to learn from all this and completely submit this situation to you, this circumstance in my life, right? And it was that the giving of that over. It also says, when I mention it here, it says this, that he mentions in Romans 5:3, Paul says to what? Exult in our tribulations. I believe that's the ESV. In the NASB, it says rejoice. All right? Philippians 3:1, he says, finally, my brethren, rejoice in the Lord. All right, rejoice in who? What does he just say? He says, in who? The Lord. Rejoice in the Lord. I'm not rejoicing in myself. These aren't my accomplishments. These are things that I've been allowed to accomplish through the strength that I've gained from the Lord. MacArthur writes this. He says, in the Lord signifies the sphere in which the believer's joy exists, a sphere unrelated to the circumstances of life, but related to an unassailable, right? Unassailable, unchanging relationship to the sovereign Lord. And that's where our joy and how we rejoice needs to come in, is through the circumstances in our life, we are going to have this unassailable, unchanging relationship to the sovereign Lord, whether it's in the good times or whether it's in the bad times. Whether my circumstances in life are going great right now or they are not ideally what I pictured this day was going to look out to be. He continues on in 1 Thessalonians by saying, to pray without ceasing, to pray without ceasing. It was once said of Charles Spurgeon that they would see him walking down the street and then he would immediately just stop and start praying, right? And then when asked, he would give a variety of reasons of why he did it, but even in that moment of walking down the street, the characteristic for him and how devoted his life was what I just came across or whatever came to my mind, I need to stop right now and pray about it, all right? To pray without ceasing, all right? We often, all right, it's kind of classic of people to often pray when they need something in return, all right? They kind of make it like a like an exchange of some sort, right? But we need to remember that we pray in all circumstances, right? I'm still driving these points home, the good and the bad. All right, the good and the bad. In the good, we thank the Lord for what he has provided and continues to do so. All right? And in the bad, for direction, guidance, and what are we to learn from that particular moment in life? What are we going to learn from what's going on in my life right now at this moment? All right? But yet, we not forgetting that ultimately it is God's will and we are to pray in a manner seeking what? Him first, to glorify and honor him in all circumstances. As followers of Christ, when we are at the midst and we are struggling the most in our lives, if we can pick ourselves up and continue to be rejoicing in the Lord, right? People see us praying without ceasing, and they know that we are carrying on in our life, that if they don't know the Lord, they can definitely look at us and say, there's something really different about this person. I might need to go talk to them. You know, praying without ceasing. There's no magical time to prayer, right? Some people have, well, I get up and I pray in the morning, or I get up on my, I pray right before I go to bed. Good, good, right? There's like a whole lot of times during the day that I could say definitely warrant prayer in our lives, right? Those aren't bad. We collect prayer requests from the youth on Sunday night, you know. I pray over that all week long. I collect prayer requests from a Bible study that I lead on Monday nights. I continue to pray for that list all week long, all right? But it's not just those things. It's praying in my life, you know, how is my relationship with the Lord? How is my walk with the Lord? How do I lift him up even when I'm struggling? Perfect time to pray, you know? Listen, I just got back into some long-distance running. It's been like a work here lately. Some of these things can go from 1 hour to 4 hours. There's a whole lot of praying that I can tell you that goes on in that time frame, especially when you're running uphill. There's a whole lot of praying, right? But there's no magical moment to pray. Pray in your car while you're driving. Keep your eyes open, hands 10 and 2. Just make sure you're paying attention to what's going on in front of you. But, you know, at the time, just take a moment and pray. I can't tell you how many times in the past couple weeks people have called me with some devastating news, and I'm like, all right, I got it, man. All right, have you prayed about it? Well, no. Well, when we hang up and you go start doing that, and I'll pray for you also. All right, pray without ceasing. Let your prayer life be an instrumental focus of what your walk with Christ is. Let's see. It says in Ephesians 6:18, right, that we, with all prayer and petition, pray at all times in the Spirit. And with this in view, be on the alert with all perseverance and petition for all the saints. We pray on my behalf. Utterance may be given to me in the opening of my mouth to make known with boldness the mystery of the gospel, for which I am an ambassador in chains, that in proclaiming it, I may speak boldly as I ought to speak. All right? Romans. Paul wrote Romans while in prison. All right? Was he in a cell by himself? He was chained to other inmates. He was chained to other guards. All these things, right? Did Paul have a really good moment at that time to go, you know what? I just don't feel like being real joyful right now. You know? No. All right. Matter of fact, it's known that Paul continued to pray. He continued to share. He continued to spread the good word, right? And that is what helps carry us through even those most difficult times. I've had to take a really strong look sometimes and go, man, this is just completely beyond my scope and ability to fix. And then my wife quickly reminds me, well, why don't you give it to the Lord? I'm like, yeah, you're right. All right? It says five things. That we pray without ceasing, right? How about with variety, frequency, right? Submission, manner, persistence, right? Frequency and persistence could really go hand in hand together, all right? Variety. Let's not just pray without ceasing the same prayer over and over every time we go to the Lord in prayer, all right? That's not what he wants to hear from his children. Frequency, all right? That's good if you have prayer time in the morning or in the evening, but let's pray with frequency. Let's not abandon our prayer life to God. Right? Submission. When we pray, we need to be fully submissive on what we may get in return. Right? I had a good friend the other day. We were collecting prayer requests, and he's like, man, I need you to pray for patience in my life. And I was like, get ready, dude. I'm gonna lift it up. I'm gonna pray for you, but we're gonna see how that one falls, all right? But let's be in submission to everything in our lives, right? I was talking to somebody in the hallway earlier. Three types of answers, right? What? Yes, no, wait. Yes, no, and wait. What about our manner, right? Let's not go to the Lord when we're angry about something. Right? Let's not go in demanding that we want something or he should give us something, all right? But let's submit ourselves in a manner of, Father, I'm lifting this up to you, and whatever you do, it is your will. And persistence. We don't have to just pray about something one time and let it be done, right? Let's be persistent in our prayer. Let's be persistent in who we pray for. Let's be persistent and the members of our church that are hurting, praying for them. Let's be persistent in those who are suffering through the loss of a job, or be persistent in our prayer, just in ourselves, but be persistent in just praying to the Lord and just saying, thank you for what you have given me in my life. Thank you for these times that I'm going through. Thank you for giving me the clarity to see beyond my own vision. Philippians 4:6-7, it says this, it says classic, right? Be anxious for what? Nothing, all right? But everything be by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving. Let your requests be made known to who? To God. Let your requests be made known who? To God. I got a good buddy of mine. I'm gonna fill it with one more story. He always, man, I got this going on in my life. He's got a checkbox of everybody he's gonna tell prior to. Yeah. Nowhere on that list is God. Nowhere on that list is he taking it up to him first and him alone. It's It's like he's seeking help and reassurance from every single person in his life before he even considers going to the Lord. And we need to remember this about prayer, that it is making our request simply known to the Lord. Making our request known to the Lord. But we also need to remember that it could be, right, yes, no, or wait. Supplication, I want to read this quote. It says, an earnest sharing of our needs and problems. There's no room for half-hearted prayer. We must be genuine when we come to the Lord. When we say there's no room for half-hearted prayer, we mean this. It's just don't make it a checkbox item of something that you need to do in your daily life, right? There's no intent behind that to glorify God. There's no intent to honor him, right? What it says right here, and it clearly says that we need to be genuine when we come to the Lord, right? Whether it's right here, right now, or if you're walking down the hallway, when you get in your car, if that's the moment you feel you need to be as genuine as you can with the Lord, take the time and do it. But let's make it and strive to make it a continual process in our life, in our daily life, that we continue to pray him, to lift him up, to rejoice in his name, to find joy in everything we do, to give thanksgiving to him and him alone, and not the latest pop star that is controlling the charts. The rightful response in any believer's life is this, that is to thank God first and foremost, even in those most difficult times. Coming full circle, I told you I'm gonna hit it a lot of times, all right? We learn from the hard times in our life. We can learn from a lot of things in our life, but would everybody probably be in agreement that when it stings, you learn a lot, right? When it stings, you've learned a pretty valuable lesson in life, all right? But it's in our lives that we are to learn from the moments, and then we take them always back to God, all right? Gentleman outside said this a minute ago. He says, it's just like this. If I'm walking down the street and I fall and I sprain my ankle, thank God I didn't break my leg. Okay. All right. But here's also, there is in people's lives a refusal to acknowledge that all good comes from God, and there's those that do the same and the bad. But as believers, we need to acknowledge that all good comes from God. But even in the bad times, we are to lift it up to him. All right? Even in those bad times, we can still find the goodness of God. Amen. Ephesians 5:20, it says, always give thanks for all things in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ to God, even the Father. All right, even the Father. What we see here is ultimately what and who our thanks is directed towards. All right, we see what it's towards, and it is for God, for what he has done through his Son, our perfect Lord and Savior. And that's where our thanks begins and it's directed to. I love this quote. It says this. Romans 1:8. It says, first, I thank my God through Jesus Christ for you all because your faith is being proclaimed throughout the whole world. All right, your faith is being proclaimed throughout the whole world. Has anybody ever heard the term that all roads lead to Rome? All roads lead to Rome. And geographically back then, that was true. A lot, almost everything at that point came in and out of Rome. All right? And as believers gathered and they came together and they were able to rejoice and give thanksgiving in the name of our Lord, and they were able to share the gospel and continue the gospel message, all things lead to Rome, and guess what? All things left Rome too. And then now the gospel message has begun to spread throughout the whole world. When I was a kid, they used to have those cartoons and you would see like a map, right? And it would show like something spreading on the map, all right? When you think of an illustration of that thinking, right, it's here and then now look, it's so beautiful. The gospel message is just going out to the world, right? All things lead to Rome and all things definitely can leave Rome. Paul was proclaiming that his thanks is to who, right? It was to God through Jesus. And he says that at Rome, the gospel had the ability and was moving to the entire world. We need to always maintain and ensure our focus is on the Lord. All right, we need to make sure that as we walk in our daily lives, whether we are just kind of floating and everything is good, and that our energy is directed to Him, the same energy needs to be directed at 8 o'clock at night when you get that bad phone call, and then you drop to your knees and you give it to the Lord. Let's not ask why, but let's just say, Father, I give this to you, right? I'm rejoicing in your name. I find my joy in you, and I cannot do this on my own, but only through you. Lastly, it says that this, that Paul, in all of his writings, in all of his circumstances and trials in his life, the things that he struggled through the most, that he continually maintained, that his energy and efforts were going to be geared to Christ and Christ alone. Think about that. Think about the 39 lashes five times. Think about the imprisonment, the shipwrecks, all these things that could have steered him off course, right? But he maintained, he held firm to the truth, to the truth. He found joy in those situations. He rejoiced in the name of the Lord. He gave him that thanksgiving because it's when at that moment in his weakness, the Lord was glorified. When we don't have the strength, yet we rejoice in the name of the Lord, people can see and say, man, there's something different about him and I want to get to know what he knows. So in closing, I say this. I say that ultimately we need to remember that everything we are thankful for, one thing stands amongst them all, right? We can be grateful for jobs. We can be grateful for good health. We can be grateful for our family. We can give thanksgiving to all these things. But the one thing that stands out amongst any of that is Jesus Christ. We're to be thankful that a loving God who has every reason to turn away from us gave us the most important thing of all. Right? And it was his son. I said this to the youth a couple weeks ago. When Jesus was hanging on that cross, when he was dying for our sins, he knew you in your darkest moment. Yet he still took that penalty upon himself and died a death that we all deserve. But he didn't stay dead, did he? No. 3 days later, he rose from the grave. He conquered that grave, and he's alive. And we need not forget that. We need not forget that because it was through Jesus Christ, the Savior, right? We have been pulled from the sins, and now we are in a restored relationship that was broken. He deserves our thanksfulness. First and foremost, in every time of difficulty, we need to look to Him and Him alone. Let's pray. Father, Lord, we come to you and we lift up this day. Father, I pray that as each and every person leaves the room today, that they earnestly seek you out in all times of their lives, not just the good. Lord, I pray that as we gather with our families over the holidays, that we can take that time to share your word with them, share the gospel message with them, because in every family we have those who are lost. And for some of them, they need to hear it now more than ever. I lift up each and every person in this room. Lord, I just pray you be with them. Lord, I pray you protect them as they leave today. And Lord, I just ultimately ask that as we leave here and everything we do, that we do to bring glory and honor to you. In Jesus' name, amen.